This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Tady Meyer coming up along with Ty Chandler, the running back from Carolina. And Tady Meyer, big win last night. She'll join us here in about 15 minutes or so. College basketball is underway. Men and women last night underway on both sides in the ACC. Duke, Kentucky was the headliner at the Garden as Mike Krzyzewski begins his final tour as the Blue Devils head coach. And quite frankly, the two top 10 teams, nice night. Good ball game.
It was. And the freshmen really shined for Duke.
Well,
and,
we expected a lot out of Banchero, but Trevor Keels kind of stole the show, too.
I got to be honest with you. Trevor Keels was the guy, after watching that game last night, you're like, man, league's going to have to deal with this guy, right? Yeah. I mean, he is a matchup problem. Beat you on the outside, power driving to the rim.
Yep.
There you go. There's two perfect examples on the screen if you're watching. But a really entertaining game. For the first game of the season, Kentucky and Duke put a nice show on. They really did. Good ball game.
Keel said 25, Banchero 22. Duke just 1 of 13 from the floor, and here's a list. Remember that night in Indianapolis when R.J. Barrett and Zion Williamson and Cam Reddish all had 20 or more in their first games? And you're like, gang, it is on.
Yeah, but this game last night felt different,
right?
And, you know, Kentucky kind of older, which is unusual, given what we've seen with Calipari's group. And for Mike Krzyzewski, I kind of go back to our interview with him during the tip-off, and he sat down. He said, hey, we got some grown men on this team.
Right.
We're long. We're athletic.
That's it.
We'll be able to get after them. And what everything Kay said is exactly what you saw last night. But you pointed this out, Wes. 1 of 13 from three, that must get better. And again, it's only one game, so you don't go too crazy all this stuff. But Kentucky gets some credit with that with the defense, but you got to shoot the ball a little bit better from the field.
Yeah, Hubert Davis was a winner last night in his debut as Carolina's head coach. They beat Loyola here on ACC Network, 83-67 the final. Caleb Love had 22 points for Carolina. Brady Manick had 20. Dawson Garcia, a dozen with 9 rebounds last night for the Tar Heels. Carolina, the 4-out-1-in was certainly evident on the floor, defensively fine. My guess is the plus the 12 turnovers and the 15 assists is probably a good number. The zero in the turnover margin was even last night. That's probably a number that Coach Davis would like to see change as they develop the season.
And the other thing, too, Garcia off the bench, 12-9. Take that all day long from that perspective. And again, it's one game. Trying to figure this thing out as we go along. But for Hubert Davis, he joined us yesterday on the program. Terrific start. Same thing with another debut up in Boston College.
Yeah. Earl Grant looked good last night, 73-57 the final. Damar Lankford, a big night. He had 16 points. Quentin Post, 14 points, 6 rebounds. All new faces at BC. Very few returning guys from an Eagle roster that has seen a lot of transfer guys and fellows move on. They did shoot 49% from the floor. They were plus 8 on the glass last night in the win there. The sidebar to all of this is that we did have 3 upsets last night. The ACC took 3 L's. Pitt, Georgia Tech, and Virginia all lost to teams ranked in Kim Pomeroy's initial release at 100 or higher, 100 or sub-100s, 100 to 200. The ACC, fortunately, unlike some schools last night, Mark, did not suffer losses of 200 or lower. Washington last night lost to Northern Illinois, who was 300. So I know it's early, but Georgia Tech fell to Miami of Ohio. Pittsburgh lost to the Citadel, who threw in, I want to say, well, they hit 13 out of 36 from three. And then Virginia lost last night to the Naval Academy in Charlottesville.
Can I ask you a real simple question?
Sure.
How do you know anybody's 200 to 300? I mean, this is going to be the most who knows what college basketball
That's correct,
season.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even if you're ranked, I mean, Virginia was ranked 25th in the country.
Mm-hmm.
How do we know a month from now, 2 months from now, they're a top 10 team or they're a team outside the top 100?
Well,
I mean, I don't know, I have a clue.
Right.
Right? So I don't know how.
Well, Pomeroy puts together, Ken's a mathematician.
I get
so
that, but we haven't played any games.
That's
Wes.
It. You're
I mean,
right.
You can't tell me what you did last year. It's got nothing to do with this year. So that kind of stuff drives me crazy one game in the season.
Sure.
All I know is this. I watched Navy Virginia last night. I mean, the Hoos lost at home.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And the game's tied up with 8.5, 9 minutes to go. It's 55 apiece. They go 8.5 minutes and don't score a point.
That's it.
Game, set, match. You lose to Navy. And as I pointed out earlier, Navy, it's their second road win against a ranked team in history. The only other time it happened was 1953 against NC State. That was not a good night for the Hoos. Just tell me. I don't care what anybody says.
Clemson a winner last night. Syracuse a big winner. They won by 34. Clemson got 21 from Alamir Dawes last night. P.J. Hall had 8 rebounds. Tigers shot 47%. Yeah, they trailed 8 at the half.
They were down 11 at one point. Mm-hmm. Didn't play well in the first half. Blew them out in the second half.
Miami a winner. Cam McGusty had 20 and 10 last night for Coach Larrañaga's team. Good to see Sam Wardenburg on the floor for the first time in about 2 years.
Can Miami just knock on wood have a year that they don't have everybody injured? I mean, they've had 2 years back-to-back between COVID and the injuries. There's nobody in the country that's had a worse run than Miami from an injury standpoint. Nobody.
NC State, a winner, but already an injury concern. Manny Bates left the game early last night. No word yet there. Terquavion Smith had 20 points. Jericho Helms, 22. Darion Sebron had 18 and 11 last night. If Bates' injury is long-term, Sebron's value to the Wolfpack gets that much more important.
NC State and Clemson similar last night. Did not get off to great starts. Struggled at the half. NC State was tied. Clemson was behind. But both of them played well in the second half to bury their opponent.
Virginia Tech got 15 from Justin Mutz. They shot 53% from the floor. They buried Maine last night. It was over. It was over at the first TV timeout.
I think people were sleeping on Virginia Tech.
Yeah. I said Kevin Aluma might be the player of the year. He did not have a great night last night, by the way. Louisville beat Southern. Noah Locke, 16 points. Samuel Williamson. Everybody forgets Samuel Williamson, third-year guy now in that program. 14 points, 14 rebounds last night for the Cards in the win. Two games tonight. Our friend Steve Forbes and Wake Forest, the Swiss, play at the Joel tonight at 7 against the College of William & Mary, Mark. And then 9 o'clock, you got Penn and Florida State, all that on the men's side. Miami and Georgia Tech were big winners last night on the ladies' side. We told you about NC State falling to South Carolina in the top five matchup in the Champions Classic. We will talk to Katie Meyer about her team's win coming up here in about 7 or 8 minutes.
You know, you mentioned Virginia. Mm-hmm. The Georgia Tech Pitt losses were not great last night.
No, Makai Larry had a big night for Miami, but Miami of Ohio, that is. Second straight year, Georgia Tech's lost the opener to a, quote, mid-major.
Pitt.
No getting around it. That's what happens. Michael DeVoe played well, but Georgia Tech's got to win those games.
Pitt's had some issues away from the court, and that is something that Jeff Capel's going to have to deal with. But they got smoked by the Citadel. And I mentioned
the Citadel hit 33s. They hit 13 of 36.
Wes, it's the first time the Citadel has beaten an ACC team. They lost 46 in a row.
Right.
To the Atlantic Coast Conference. He had not beaten an ACC team since 1979. And last night it was 14-2 by the time I had my first bite of dinner. Mm-hmm. It was 14-2.
Yeah.
And that was all she wrote. Pitt never got close. They got the single digits, but they never made a run, ever.
There you go.
They've got to get healthy. And so that was a little disturbing. And Georgia Tech's weird, right? Well, you mentioned it. Last year,
I got
off to a slow start. And the next thing you know, they're cutting down the nets, winning a championship.
The women, by the way, ACC women opened 9-2. We told you about NC State. Virginia lost to James Madison last night. That's the only other marker on the ladies' side.
Not a great night for the Hoos and Hoops, huh? Men and women lose.
Mm-mm. Well, sir.
Notre Dame coming into town for football this weekend.
That's right. By the way, Nothing But Net will be at Cameron on Friday ahead of our broadcast here on ACC Network. Dave O'Brien and Chris Patola will have Army at Duke on Friday night. We got a basketball doubleheader here for you on Friday night on ACC Network. Army visits Duke and Brown at North Carolina, 9 o'clock start. Dallin Cuff, the play-by-play with Malcolm Huckabee on Friday.
Excellent.
Yeah, there you go. And then football. We got full football. We got full basketball.
Plus, you got football tomorrow night.
In November.
Pitt, North Carolina,
it's
Thursday.
November.
It's a great long weekend of sports.
Yeah,
really
so there
is.
You go.
So it's kind of a mixed bag for the men.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think Syracuse. I watched 20 total minutes of gameplay last night in Syracuse, couple in each half. I was impressed.
They can shoot, brother.
Oh, my God.
They're going to be able to score. That's why I kind of like them.
I know. Virginia Tech looked good. Naheem Aleem played well last night for Coach Young. Aluma did not have a great game, but Storm Murphy was on the floor last night for Wofford. He makes some plays there. I kind of like the way Virginia Tech looks. I like the way Syracuse looks. I'm anxious to see Steve Forbes year two Wake Forest tonight and Florida State here at 9 o'clock on the network.
Forbes has so many new guys.
I mean, his roster, and crazy. I've got one of their games in a couple weeks. His roster is like 17 or 18 guys. There's no possible way he can play everybody in a game.
That's why you have to watch these games, because nobody looks like they did a year ago. Nobody. That's why I told you in April.
Well, and the names are all different. I mean, you look at Earl Grant at Boston College, it's a name tag deal. You know, like in football where they strap the tape on the helmet? I mean, they ought to have like a name tag. And Boston College doesn't have names on the back of their jerseys. I think it's because they got swapping out jerseys.
They're doing that for you. I'm convinced they're doing that for you. That's the West Durham rule. We have no names in the back of the jerseys.
Oh, me.
You have to do some serious homework. Who's number 22 again?
Hey, I want
to tell Smith.
You. Huh? Earl Grant, they played hard. BC. Now, I know you're playing Dartmouth, but Pack, they went up and down the floor last night. 94 feet, hustle, trapping in the corners. He just like his College of Charleston teams played. Going to be interesting.
We're going to see. Again, hey, it's one game. You can't go too crazy.
But here's the
hope. You're a Virginia basketball fan today, you can't say the end is near. No, you don't do that.
No, but here's the hope you have to have. Okay, just like you said in football. And Dave Clawson pointed out to us, if we get this exciting level of basketball that we've gotten with football, with competitive games.
You're going to.
It's going to be great. I mean, like that Akron-Ohio State thing last night, that might become the norm. The upsets.
No, I
mean, think about the mid-major teams that are old. Miami of Ohio, Navy, those teams.
I'm with you.
Okay.
I'm going to get no argument from me on that.
All right.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
It's a Wednesday.
Yeah.
Guest galore coming up. Ty Chandler from North Carolina in about 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But now we need to go talk to the record setter down there in Miami. Let's bring her on. Katie Myers, rocking and rolling. Big W last night.
Look, shaking her head already.
Here's Coach.
Come on.
Congratulations.
Yeah, 304. You're the all-time winningest coach. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank
you.
Record setter.
Well, you are.
I mean, come on.
How would you – all right, let me do this, Katie. How would you like to be introduced?
Just Kate.
All right, Kate.
Kate.
Kate, here's
youngest
the deal.
Youngest of eight.
Kate, here's the deal. Since we're going to go casual, Kate, me and Mrs. P were working on a little international travel schedule.
Oh,
and,
no.
So I'm already thinking about recruiting for Miami next year. So just let me know. I mean, would you tell me, hey, I need a guard, I need a forward, I need a center. I'm looking for post play. I need a shooter, whatever. So when I'm out there next year, international style, I am your guy. I told you that when we saw you.
That's right. You've got Siberia. Spain and Italy, and you can take Siberia. No. We're good.
Kate, you keep this up, and we'll no longer be on a first-name basis. I'm just going to say that right now.
All right. While you guys worry about international ports of call, I want to go back. I mean, look, last night gave you 304 at Miami, 380 in your career. I'm old enough to remember when you started at Charlotte and took them to three postseasons, I think, in 4 years, if I recall correctly. I mean, there's all sorts of things that happen in this journey. Do you give yourself on night one, when you get this, the moment to think, okay, you know what? It's nice to be the all-time winningest coach here, but it also means, you know, daggone it, I've done a pretty good job, that kind of thing.
I think the biggest thing I took from last night is you don't want to set a record and have nobody happy for you. You know, I mean, you want to make sure that the people that have done it with you show up. I mean, Jessica Thomas, one of my starting point guards, flew back from Turkey just to be there. She's playing pro in Turkey. She flew back to come and be there for the moment. Michelle Woods, Taylor Mason. I have Morgan Strowman and Shanice Johnson on my bench. Anyone who's worked for me in the past wrote me a text or came. So that's, I think, the biggest thing of the journey is it's all about the people. And the game was so close that after the game, I was, like, so grateful that my team mobbed me because I had to make a quick transition because I was coaching every second of that game, and I needed some time to just get myself together for, like, the presentation that they did and stuff because it was really, really sweet. But a lot of very important people took the night to honor, you know, I guess me setting the record, but I feel like it's not me. I felt like it was just honoring like what's happened in Miami in the women's basketball side of things since me and my staff showed up.
Coach, if I can give you the guarantee of the W for a first game, would you not rather have a game like last night as opposed to, hey, what Texas did by winning by 100 or whatever the final score was? But isn't it good to get one of those kind of games where, hey, you got to grind and there are pressure possessions late where you got to execute and do your thing. Isn't that like the perfect opener for you? If I can guarantee the
W? Yeah. Yeah. A 12-point win would have been a little bit better. But I really like this team and I was really focused on putting the pieces together and trying to figure out what our style is going to be based on our talent. And so I didn't have a lot of time at all to even before the game think, oh, this will be a big moment. I knew there was something going on because everybody was kind of quiet and I was asking, like, okay, you know, what's going on after the game? And no one was telling me anything. So I knew that they were planning on us winning, but I had been watching Jackson State, and they had 15-game winning streak last year and played Baylor tough, and we played them 2 years ago, and they played us tough. So this was a game for me to figure out my team. I mean, this is one win of a team that I really think is going to get a lot of wins this year, and I really wanted to make sure they understood this was not about me. I mean, I've had 304 of them, but this is the first win for this team, and it better be one of many.
All right, it better be, and that we just got coached that it better be one of many.
It will be more.
We were just told if it's not one of many, then we're in trouble.
Well, as a matter of fact, we just did over-under, and one of our questions was, will Miami women's basketball win more than one game? We both went over.
So there you go.
We're good. That going for it.
All right. Impossible question, but I'm asking anyway. Because you're a friend, you do a great job every time you're with us. We always have fun. Of the 304, do you have a favorite at Miami?
Wow. There's two games that really come to mind that were just so intense and so high level. One of them was when, I guess this is probably the one that sums up my journey so far. We were at my first year at Miami, took over, and Maryland came rolling in, and I knew in warm-ups, I'm like, we were toast. Like they were playing for the conference title. We were playing to maybe get, you know, slot number 13 in the ACC tournament. And in warmups, I looked at my strength coach. I said, oh my God, like they were just sharp, focused. And so they ended up winning the national championship that year. But I think they scored 125 points and I was really happy we scored 65. Like I was like, oh wow. Like, and then I realized that that gap was so huge at Miami and so much had to be done going from the Big East to the ACC. And that gap just kept me up at night. It just kept me thinking. It just kept me pushing and growing and wondering and doubting and all that. And then, I don't know, I think it was 2 or 3 years later maybe, I went up there with that team with Raquana Williams and Shanice Johnson and Morgan Strowman, and they were riding the nation's longest home game winning streak, and they were an awesome team, and they were 2 in the country, and we went up there and beat them with a 3. Last possession, we didn't go for the tie. We went for the win, and whap, it went in. And I was like, wow. Now, we closed that gap, and we closed it quick. And I think that was a huge win for this program. Now, we got to play them again this year at Maryland, and there'll probably be 1 or 2 again. So, but I just know that those 3 years or however that gap was, that was all work of staff and recruiting and just, you know, pushing through, like, doubts and barriers that were there that you had to move. And so that meant a lot to me.
I want to go back to something you just said. Okay, I don't know if I've ever heard a coach say this before. I looked over and I said, man, we're toast. What does that feel like? What does that feel like when you're the head coach and you put in the work and before we ever get to the very first play, you're like, we're done. We're done. Why are we even doing this? What does that feel like?
I didn't say why are we doing this, but boy, I saw it in their eyes and their focus and what they were playing for. And you could, I mean, it was just going to be, they were not going to make any mistakes. And for us to beat them that year based on the talent gap and probably the coaching gap too, we needed them to play a little bad. And they played perfect.
I want to pivot to one thing. Mark and I have been talking about this. He brought it up a few days ago. And I think we may have something here, and I want to ask a coach before we get too far down the road. We are in the process of the back third of arguably the most competitive college football season we've had in recent memory, Katie. And one of the reasons is because of the expanded rosters, the COVID year, the portal, all that stuff, grad years, whatever you got. Pack suggests that we might see it in basketball. Do you think that's possible, that we see arguably one of the more competitive years in both men's and women's college basketball because of the same landscape we're watching this football play out?
100%. You know, there's not a coach in this conference that probably thinks their roster got worse. I just don't think so. I mean, and that's one of the things that everybody's going to have an improved roster. Mm-hmm. And, you know, especially with the ability of that the fifth year is returning. So, I know in women's basketball, a lot of all-conference players that would have been gone are back. Mm-hmm. And that makes their whole conference better. And then a lot of all-conference players from other conferences came into our conference. So I don't have the stats, but it would be a good trivia question. How many all-conference returners are in our conference this year in women's basketball? Because it could be the whole team. And yeah. So returning from either the ACC or another conference that transferred in, they were a great player and they came to us. So, you know, two of our transfers played extremely well last night, extremely well in their very first game in Miami uniform. So there's a lot of change. It's going to be a game-to-game deal. And I said it at Media Day, but if you're in a game and it's close, you better win it, because you could be an excellent team and not win an ACC game this year.
Coach, was there anything that you saw last night in the game that caught you by surprise in the sense that, hey, man, I'm glad we did this because I wasn't sure why I saw this in any practice leading into the game?
Oh, boy.
There was a lot last night that caught me by surprise. Oh, heck of a lot. Like coming out of a timeout, wanting this particular play, having them run a different play and going, okay, if you have a better idea, it better work out for you, because – if you think you have a better idea than me, that's fine. It better go in, you know. But it didn't go in, and we didn't even make the play. So, no, there was a lot of that. And, I mean, every coach in America is going through that right now where the players are nodding their heads, right? They're nodding their heads. You know, they don't want to say, I'm confused, because then they'll get pulled out of the game. So they're like, yep, gotcha, totally understand. And go out there and don't have an idea of what you meant. So that's something we have to address today in film. Playing 12, 13 players like we do, it's going to happen a lot early. And, you know, it's just a matter of them being really focused and being more honest. Honestly, at halftime, like, can you guard this young lady? They're going to say yes. Now, when we get in the ACC and I ask that question, they better be honest. They better say, you know what, coach, no, put someone else on her. She's killing me. And that's the kind of communication I require. Wasn't getting as much of last night because everybody's still, like, trying out for playing time and wanting to get their minutes, and I get it, but it almost cost us a game.
All right, real quick, something happened last night. You were telling me during the break. I want you to share this with Packer, because this needs to be public before we go much further with your appearances on the show.
Something happened last night. Give me more lead.
The girl who was called for a technical for stepping on the floor.
Oh, you had
an official call a technical foul last night. Right call, yeah. But bottom line is, you're just talking about your players zoning out a little bit. You had a zone out a little bit, right?
Yeah, it was a dead ball situation, and my player was at the table, and she stepped in, thought she was called in. The ball was already in bounds. She stepped one foot in, came back out. We got a huge technical. I'm like, wow. I've coached a long time.
Hey.
And
you'll always remember
gotcha.
The night you became the winningest
gotcha.
Coach. You'll always remember the night you became the winningest coach, right?
Yeah, that story could have, that headline could have been a lot different. Worst coach ever. Biggest mistake. It was a huge moment in the game, too. So those are things that you're fortunate that you can clean up early, and they didn't cost you the game.
Katie, if it makes you feel any better, Wes and I, every day, about 6:30, we get in here, and the really smart people up in Bristol, producers, directors, they tell us, here's the game plan. And Wes and I nod, just like your players
just like
are doing.
Right here.
And then 7 a.m. happens. And then you realize these two idiots running the show have no idea what they're doing. They, right. they didn't listen to a word we said for half an hour.
There
so if it makes you feel any better, it's not just women's basketball. It's television. It's the same deal.
Well, so
same deal.
But why? Why not? Why not? Help me out there. Just say confused. Don't get it. The nodding part's what kills me.
There you go.
Oh, boy. It.
Congratulations.
Hey, look Thank forward you. To following your team. Always great to visit with you. Congratulations last night. That's awesome. As
Thanks,
somebody
guys.
That watched you play in this league, you coached the hell out of it, lady. I'm going to tell you that. You know that.
Hey,
thank
by,
you.
By the way, I just got a note from my better half, and she says there are no shooting guards in Siberia, so we're bagging Siberia.
See you soon.
All right, thanks, guys.
Katie Meyer, head coach at Miami, now the all-time winningest women's basketball coach at the Hurricanes.
Good people, man.
Yep, great
Easy
people.
To root for.
And a tremendous player, yeah. and now a great coach.
Yep.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Wednesday. Very eventful show. Very eventful.
$4.99. $500 is this eventful. We're going to be in trouble. There won't be $501, I can tell you that.
Maybe some truth in that.
Yeah. Todd Chandler joined us yesterday after Carolina finished their workouts, getting ready to take on Pittsburgh tomorrow night, and coming off a 200-yard, two-touchdown game. That really kind of sparked Carolina in the upset win over Wake Forest. That Tar Heel run game, kind of finding a groove here a little bit to go with all the stuff Sam Howell does. We asked Ty, though, remember now, transfer from Tennessee where he was their all-purpose yardage leader for the last 2 years. Right off the top, though, what made Carolina the fit for him leaving Knoxville?
Oh, man, it's a special place. Just love being here and the atmosphere and coaches here, Coach Brown, offered me the opportunity to come play here, man, and it was something I didn't want to turn down. I was grateful for the opportunity, was excited to be here and get to work with these guys, with quarterback Sam Howell, man, a great leader, great offensive line, and so I was excited about the opportunity.
Ty, I know that tomorrow it's all about Pittsburgh, but I want to go back to Saturday. Wake Forest got you guys down double digits. I know you weren't hanging around last year, but I got a figure on that sideline. It was like, hey, don't panic. We've been here, done that. What was that like in that second half when you guys exploded to come back?
You know, we just had to keep fighting, man. That's what the game's all about. Just constantly going and keep fighting. And that's what we did, and we were able to pull it off in the end. Got some stops on defense, and just thank God I was able to finish the runs that I was able to. But the whole team together was just all on one accord and kept fighting. And big shout-out to the offensive line, man, for they did a great job and allowed me to have some success.
Ty, I'd say so. You're the first Carolina player in almost 30 years with 200-plus rushing yards and four more touchdowns against a top-10 opponent. I mean, that's a pretty strong note in the history books for Carolina football.
It is, and I'm just – I thank God that he used me in that way and allowed me to do that. And to do it here at a special place like Carolina. And like I said, man, I tell Coach Brown all the time, like I'm just happy to be here and thrilled for the opportunity. And I just want to be able to put this team in a position to help them be successful. And finish this thing out the right way.
Ty, as I mentioned, you got Pittsburgh tomorrow. Pitt's already played Tennessee earlier this year. You call some of your old buds and say, hey, listen now, what's up with the Panthers? What's going on here?
Yes, sir. I went back and just been watching the game, watching film, just trying to get a feel for how they play. Very good team, got a good defensive line. Just a great team. I'm looking forward to the challenge, looking forward to going up there and playing the game and going out there and competing.
Ty, you know, there's this part about where Carolina's season is that, you know, because of the way things kind of shook out early, a lot of people thought, you know, well, they're not going to be as good. But yet each year in football, we find teams that maybe for one reason or another have a sluggish start or have dips in the schedule. And then all of a sudden, you just have used the term a couple times, finish it out the right way. what's been said this week after the win against Wake Forest that gives you belief that now the time has come maybe for Carolina to play like perhaps we all thought they could?
Just going out there and finishing strong, man, and continuing to fight. And like you said, the win we got Saturday, we just got to be able to build off that and keep going. And correcting the things that we can correct, focusing on little details and fixing the fixable things and keeping the ball rolling.
Ty, what's the biggest difference between playing ACC football and SEC football, given your experience?
Well, I say when it all comes down to it, it's just football is football, man. Everybody plays the game a different way. But it's really all the same, man. And I learned a lot just playing in the SEC and playing in the ACC. And being here with these guys, just been more in the film room and just being able to dissect the game and really becoming a student of the game. Get in the film room with Sam, and he's pushed me to do that. So, but it's been a great overall experience.
Okay, so you mentioned Sam. We've always heard, and we've had him on the show a few times, but he seems like he's always pretty cool and calm during the game. Ty, he doesn't get too high or too low. Was he pretty steady in the second half the other day against Wake Forest when you guys were rallying?
Definitely, man. He's always even keel, but he's a competitor. He's always ready to go and on his toes. He knows what he's doing, and he's very confident in his ability. And that's a great thing. Great leader, great quarterback, and he prepares the right way, and I love to see it pay off for him. Love being in the backfield with him and working with him and just having a chance to learn the game just from his perspective and how he views it and just being in the film room with him and picking up all the knowledge I can from him.
Ty, let's be honest now. This is me and you talking. It's one thing to say, hey, I'm transferring to North Carolina because Sam Howell can throw it for 18,000 yards and all downs and all these guys. But nobody expected him to start running the football like he's a freaking running back. I mean, those are your yards he's eating up, man. Come on. Tell Howell, listen, you can slow it. You can throw it all over the yard, but hand me the rock if we need some yards on the ground. Come on.
I told him, man, I'm going to have to start picking up some moves from him. But no, he's a great runner as well, and I love to see that. I love to see it.
You have had 198 against Virginia, 104 against Miami, and then 213 the other day against Wake Forest. Has this been kind of what you expected? Given the way Coach Longo puts the offense in, Ty, things of that nature, did you think there'd be games there'd be real heavy yards rushing, and then you just had to be patient the rest of the time to wait on those big numbers?
Yes, sir. Being patient and just getting comfortable and just trying to build off past mistakes and reading and being patient, like you said. But, man, I've been working, and I know when it was going to pay off, man, so I just – that's what I do, continue to work, continue to press, and I know eventually it's going to pay off, and I'm glad to see it paying off. But like you said, when I got to give a lot of credit to my offensive line, man. They do a great job, and with Josh, Marcus, Q, mm-hmm. all those guys, man, they come into work every day, and they push me to be the best back that I can be, so I'm working and going all out for them.
All right, so the way – Pack and I got this figured out here. Sam Howell gets in a huddle, and you want to run the ball. You don't want him to run the ball. And Josh Downs probably wants Sam to throw it to him. I know Kamari Morales is asking for it to be thrown to him. Justin Olsen makes a whale of a catch last week. Antoine Green is wanting the ball. I mean, how in the world does Howell cut it up for you guys each week? Or is that between him and Coach Longo, and y'all just live with the results?
Hey, that's between him and Coach Longo, man. But we got playmakers all over the field. And everybody, when their time comes, they step up and make a play. And I love to see it. I love the ball being distributed all over the field, man. So it pays off. So they Coach Longo and Sam, they got it down packed, man. And they know how to distribute it. And I'm just happy to be a part of it.
right, before we let you go, this is our traditional question. Boy. I know you transferred from Tennessee. My brother's a Tennessee grad, by the way. But since you've been at the University of North Carolina, Ty, what has been your hardest class?
My hardest class?
Yep.
Let me see. I would say I'm going to go with my AAA D class.
What is that?
AAA D 330.
What class is that?
That's like an African American studies.
Okay.
But it's a real interesting class. It's just papers, man, writing papers. You know the college life. But we get it done. We get it done. So
papers, man. Papers. Life. Right, Ty?
Writing papers.
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 I love it.
Not going to write any more papers when it's done, are you?
No, sir. Hopefully I don't need to.
That's it.
Well, I don't know. There may be one paper you need to sign.
One paper you might need to, that's it. You'll have to sign one, but not write any.
Yeah, when they give you maybe a couple commas to sign it, that's worth writing on that baby right there now. Keep up the good work, man.
Hey, Ty, thanks a lot. Be well. Good luck Thursday night against Pittsburgh.
Yes, sir. Thank you all.
Enjoyed the visit with Ty Chandler. Good guy.
I wasn't kidding, though, with Sam Howell running on the ball. But give it to Chandler. That's Chandler made the run. Hey, he rolled in here from Tennessee.
Can you imagine what he told Longo, like, after our visit? Hey, Coach Longo, I did this show, and these two guys that were doing the show telling me that Sam Howell's cutting into my carries. It'll be the last of the Carolina players for this show.
No. That game tomorrow night is going to be good, though. That's going to be grab your popcorn moment, but I think both those teams are going to be able to score.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Saturday, full slate of really important games. The most important one in our league happens right here on our network with NC State and Wake Forest Saturday night.
Saturday night for the Deacs and the Wolfpack. You got an early feel for it, don't you?
I do, and I'm going to keep it quiet till Friday.
Till Friday with Mac, all right.
And on radio.
Yeah.
30 and 30.
30 and 30. Going to lay it out in 30 and 30, all right.
Always do. 30 losers in 30 seconds.
We showed you this going to break. On this date, 1984, Frank Reich engineered two of the greatest comebacks in all of football, one at the collegiate level, one at the pro level.
If you're a Miami fan, you're allowed to turn your head or turn the channel. So I'm going to tell you, if you're a Miami fan, we gave you Manny Diaz. We gave you Katie Meyer. It's been a wonderful day for Miami on this show, but turn your head.
Look at the red pants. Merlin overcame a 31-0 deficit and won 42-40. By the way, the great Mike Patrick on the call of this television broadcast. And then Frank Reich would turn around and do the same thing in the National Football League.
The Bills.
To the Houston Oilers as the quarterback of the Buffalo Bills.
Exactly right.
How about that recognition in life? Pretty interesting, huh?
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, both of them.
Yeah.
Right. On both levels.
Yeah.
Doing his thing now in the NFL as a coach. But that game was bonkers. And, in fact, I remember watching it in college, and we turned it. It was like, oh, man.
Right.
I mean, we thought Maryland was really good in the league. Because remember, we talked about this earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Clemson, North Carolina,
that's right.
Maryland. Those three were absolute big-time teams in the league at that time.
Sure.
And here goes, you know, big, bad, mighty, you know, Miami. Okay, great. And they were absolutely woodshedding the Terps. I remember turning it like, oh, God, that's embarrassing, man. I thought Maryland was good. Click.
Yeah.
Then you see the score later and you go, what? What was that all about?
Exactly.
Crazy.
It was crazy. One final note. This came in on social media last night following Clemson's victory over Presbyterian.
Blue Hose.
Yeah. Mancy Allen, who watches the show, who's from Clemson, said she stopped and wanted to know if this guy could help me get that last Packer and Durham hat.
I can answer that. No, he cannot.
No matter. I don't know what he told you, Nancy, but that young man right there cannot help you get a Packer and Durham hat unless he gives you one of his own.
Would you like to define and describe that young man?
That young man is my son. That's Will, who made his Clemson debut last night. In a winning effort, thank goodness.
Didn't look too good at halftime.
You know, Coach Brown, I got them boys charged up.
I think your son might have had something to do with it.
The turnaround halftime, you can have to talk to him about that. And Lord knows he'd love to visit with you on the show. He, you know him.
Well, you know, when I was down in Tigertown a couple weeks ago, I didn't see him down there at the SO Club. I thought I might bump into him.
He was probably on official business doing other things on a football weekend at that time.
Well, I mean,
it was an October weekend. Packet got recruiting and all sorts of other duties as assigned.
I was recruiting.
Yeah, sure you were.
I was with the people.
Recruiting people. I'll be at Clemson on Saturday.
You'll be at the SO Club?
Not on Saturday.
Why not?
Because I'm leaving after the game to fly to Dallas.
Well, you got time.
I don't necessarily think that works.
They'll know who you are when you walk in. They'll have something waiting for you.
Looking forward to seeing folks.
Kind of ease the pain before you get to Dallas.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah, because the pain in Dallas, you never know.
That's what I'm saying.
Tomorrow on this show is 500.
Five Bills.
We would normally tell you what's on tomorrow's show, but in true centennial fashion, we don't know.
We don't know. It's all, some people technically may say it's our 1,000th show because this show is looped immediately afterwards.
Right.
But 500 live shows tomorrow.
Not every day is it looped, I'm reminded.
Well, should have been.
And for those of you that thought, there is no way these cats ever get to 500 shows. Well.
It is remarkable, I must admit.
Well, we're not quite there.
We're there. They won't pull the plug on us now. Not at $4.99. No way. Not at $4.99.
Big meeting today. Got to be careful.
Is that right? I didn't get that memo.
Yeah, I know you didn't.
I didn't get that
because
memo.
You don't check the email.
No, you know, I don't check the emails. I have two corporate email accounts.
I know.
I have Mark Packer, ESPN, way, whatever, and you can send something to me because I don't check it.
That's it.
And the other one is Mark Packer at SiriusXM.com. And I've been with that company for like 11 years.
How's that email?
I don't even know how to get it.
There we go. That's what we're looking for in this world, right?
If you want to send something derogatory, that's where I suggest you send it to.
Oh, me. Thanks to those of you that are participating in Fan Accounting. We appreciate that as always. Many thanks to Manny Diaz, to Bo Collins, to Katie Meyer, and to Ty Chandler for being part of our $4.99 today.
$4.99 was a good show. It's a fun show.
Yeah, I think so too. A
couple debuts with Ty Chandler and Bo Collins. Yeah. Both those guys, big time players.
Yep.
And Katie Meyer, record setter.
Awesome.
Manny Diaz, feeling good about life. Got his football team rolling, playing as well as anybody in this league, Miami Hurricanes. How about that?
As you see on the screen, you can subscribe to the Packer and Durham podcast. Always appreciate your patronage there. And welcome to ESPN Blacksburg as the latest addition to the Packer and Durham syndicate on radio.
Have not been to that radio station. I'm sensing there probably isn't a parking issue there, but in case there is, just let me know. Free parking. That's what we've always told folks. We jump on board, we'll deliver it. Free parking. I can understand Atlanta having some issues, but not Blacksburg.
I can't wait till the Bills shows up from Atlanta.
Well, we got it covered. You can just give it right to Aaron Katzman.
Oh, man. Thanks to Josh Macri. Thanks to Drew Brooks. Chrissy Velez directs this, so bless her heart. Chester and Fuller. Very eventful morning for those fellas, too.
Chester had a better show than Fuller.
Fuller did not have a great show today. Chester had a good show.
I'm starting to wonder about that, maybe cutting back on lasagna.
Cutting back on the lasagna.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.